Good morning. We live in a world that is obsessed with power. A world that is obsessed with making sure our voice is heard, making sure that we stand out, making sure that we have the platform, that we control the narrative. Because that is the way the world works. It's undeniable. You see it everywhere. You could say it like this: blessed are the independent, for they need help from no one. Blessed are the emotionally invincible, because pain and failure will never slow them down. Blessed are the strong-willed and forceful, because they always get what they want. Blessed are the successful, for they will be seen and admired. Blessed are those who win at all cost, because mercy is weakness. Blessed are the image conscious, for they will be followed, liked, and admired. Blessed are those who take sides quickly, for they will be seen as loyal. Blessed are the powerful, for they can control what others If you're honest, you look around our world and you say, yes, that is how the world works. But if you do not learn to abide, to find your source of life from a deeper well, I promise you that is the narrative, that is the paradigm that you will say, this is how the world works. And this is the only way to get what we want. But we follow a Jesus who said, there is a better way. Who came into this world broken and simply said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Because you look at that, and Jesus says, this is what it looks like to be blessed. And you're saying, there is no way. You turn on the news, you turn on the social media, you scroll through the reels. That is not how the world works. That is not how this world operates. But we just sang a song that says something entirely different. There is a different way. And every single person in here, my guess is you are singing out with conviction that, yes, I follow Jesus. I do live differently. But let's just be honest, from time to time, is there a tug in your heart? Is there a seduction that says, no, that is not going to really work in this world? We have to be the loudest voice. And what's crazy is you look at the world that Jesus describes and says, this is blessed, and you think, how in the world could that be seen as a threat? Why would they persecute someone? Why would they look at someone who says, blessed are the poor in spirit, or the meek, or the merciful? Why would they look at someone and see them as a threat? It's because Jesus was claiming to be the king. He was claiming to be Messiah. And if you claim that you are king and you are a Messiah, then you pose a threat to every single power on this planet. Everyone who aspires to have power, everyone who has powers, and those who benefit from the people who do have power. You would see that person as a threat. You would see that person as a way that's going to get in your business and mess with your world. And it's into this world that Jesus comes along. And he says, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. He says to these followers who are preparing to do life without him, the night before he goes to the cross, he says, don't be surprised if the world around you hates you. Let's just pause for just a second. Do we hear those words and really believe them? Because what stands out to me in our world today is that as followers of Jesus, so often we are surprised that this world pushes back against the ways of Jesus. That this world pushes back against the gospel. It seems like we are shocked that this happens. How could this possibly happen? Jesus tells us it will. He says, you're going to face difficulty. You're going to face hard times. This world is not easy. Don't be surprised. But I have chosen you. I've pulled you out of this world. Not to separate yourself and live isolated from it, but to live in it as a light. To be what people see and find hope in and see Jesus in. And he says, don't be surprised if the world hates you. And I think for most of us, we think, oh, well, he's probably referring to Rome. He's referring to those outsiders, to the pagans. But remember, for Jesus, the world also meant the religious establishment that had rejected him. What he's referring to is the people who don't believe that he is the Son of God. That he is Messiah. That they have rejected him and ultimately rejected the truth and the good news of Jesus. Don't be surprised if the world hates you. Because it hated and rejected me. And if you follow me, the world will reject and hate you as well. Don't be surprised by that. Don't be surprised when you turn on the news and it appears that everyone is against you. Don't be surprised if social media says that you're not wanted. Because that is not who we serve. That is not who we follow. We follow Jesus, our Savior, who came into this world and laid down his life, who went to the cross as a show of power, to show the power of God at work in this world. Don't be surprised. Because the way of Jesus will be a threat to every empire and everyone in a position of power. But the good news, and David talked about it a few minutes ago, is he promised an advocate. He says this, when the advocate comes, who I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. All this I have told you, so that you will not fall away. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they are offering service to God. Think about Saul, Tarsus. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when their time comes, you will remember I warned you about them. I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you. But I am going away. But now I am going to him who sent me. None of you asked me, where are you going? Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things. But very truly, I tell you, it is for your good. It is for your good that I am going away. And unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Why would Jesus say, I'm going to send you a helper? Because you're going to need help. Because following Jesus, as we just sang, is not easy. It's not easy. Because everything within you and everything around you says, no, that's not how the world works. But Jesus says, this is a better way. And if you will follow me, you will find abundant life. But understand this. Those who surround you, they won't agree with you. They won't accept you as your own. You're going to stand out. You're going to stick out. You might not be included. And that's okay. Because that is not where our source of life is. He goes on to say this. When he comes, he will prove the world to be wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of the world now stands condemned. And that can be a little bit confusing. But he's saying about sin, because the world is convinced that they're not wrong in the identity of Jesus. But this is going to prove that they are. About judgment, because they think they can cast judgment onto Jesus. But what's fixing to happen in the death and resurrection of Jesus is going to be vindication. It's going to declare him. And then about judgment. About judgment, because they think they have the right to judge those who follow Jesus. Now, what's crazy is when you hear the word judgment, for most of us, it carries a really bad connotation. It's something that we're afraid of. But have you ever noticed, if you read the Psalms, judgment is something that the people of Israel looked forward to. It's not something they feared. It's something that they longed for. Why? Because they belonged to God. And they longed for the day when God would come to judge justly all of the nations who had oppressed them. They wanted their enemies to get what they deserved. And so they longed for God's judgment. My guess is you've never really thought about judgment in that way, something that you were excited about and hopeful for. But what Jesus wants you to understand, what he wants me to understand, is that he sent this advocate, that one to stand in our place, to atone for us, to advocate for us, to take our place, so that in judgment we could stand before God, that we would have hope, that the darkness of our sin would not be held against us. Why? Because Christ has redeemed us. That you could be hopeful of that day. Because that would be the day that God made the world right once again. With the Spirit as our advocate, our helper, with Christ to stand before God on the day of judgment for us to take our place. Judgment was about vindication. Maybe you've read the book or seen the movie Just Mercy. It was a story about a man named Walter McMillan, an everyday man who lived in Alabama. And in 1988, he was wrongly convicted of murder. A murder he did not commit. A murder there was no evidence for. A murder that the jury and the judge were only concerned about continuing to hold on to their power. A murder he was never even connected to in any possible way and wasn't accused of until 7 months later. He was convicted and put on death row. And as he began to lose hope, he found a man named Brian Stevenson, a lawyer who decided to step in and be an advocate for Walter. And he pleaded his case. Walter wanted more than anything else for judgment to come. Because he knew if the jury and the judge would look at him honestly and see what was really there and see what the facts were, then he would be vindicated and set free. And in 1993, Walter McMillan was declared innocent and walked away from death row, reunited with his family. And Brian Stevenson said this, "Your Honor, it was far too easy to convict this wrongly accused man and far too hard to win his freedom after proving his innocence." But what Stevenson did was simply, he was an advocate. He stood in and he argued and he pleaded with the jury and with the judge and was declared not guilty. The world will look and say, "You are guilty. You're guilty of not following our system, of our way." But Jesus, the Messiah, will declare you innocent for those who belong to Jesus, for those who live in Christ. There is good news. So some truth to kind of lean on as we go. One, don't be surprised if the world hates you. It hated Jesus first. You are not alone, because Jesus has sent the advocate, the Spirit, not beside you, but now within you. And your job is just simply to be a witness to this world of his goodness. It's not to overcome the world. It's not to win those battles. He has already done that. Your job is to bear witness to the power of Christ in this world. So I have a question. What is it that you abide in? You know, we talked about that last week. I brought this branch that I broke off of a tree in my backyard a week ago. Last night. And last week it looked so vibrant. It looked like it was still alive. But within a week, these leaves are brittle. There's no life in them. The branches just break. A week without being connected to the source of life. A week without nourishment and food. And now it's truly dead. What is it that you abide in? Is it the news? Is it social media? Is it watching endless reels? Is it what you see? What's shaping your soul? Is it the vine of Christ? Or is it the voices of our culture? Because they will tell you the Jesus way does not work. It makes no sense. There is no hope in it. But you and I, as followers of Jesus, have seen the kingdom. And we believe there is a better way. A way that leads to life. And I just simply want to encourage you today, if you're struggling to believe that there is a better way, find hope in Jesus. Find hope in Jesus through abiding in Jesus. By finding life in Jesus. Because there is so much more going on in this world than you could ever see. There's this powerful story in Kings. As Elisha and his servant are surrounded by so many numerous chariots and horsemen and enemy troops coming for the purpose of killing them. And the servant, the man of God, and the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning. An army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "Oh no, my lord. What shall we do?" the servant asked. "Do not be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see." And then the Lord opened the servant's eyes. And he looked and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. That was the reality. That there are so many more fighting for us than what you will ever see. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Do you believe that the way of Jesus is still better than anything else this world has to offer? Abide in Him. Abide in Him. Find life in Him. Jesus tells these disciples, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world." Father, today, if I'm honest, there are times, Father, I wonder. My heart starts to wander. My mind starts to linger. And I start to think, man, this cannot work. But Jesus proved that there is a better way. Jesus came to show us what it looks like to be the people of God in this world. And my prayer this morning is, Father, simply give us the courage. Give us the courage to live like Jesus by abiding in you. Give us the courage today. And give us the eyes to see that there is so much more at work in this world than we will ever see. We trust you, Jesus. Help us today to be more like you and follow. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.